This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The great Bob Nightingale's joining us to talk all things Dodgers leading up to the MLB trade deadline. That's coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Soho, Ohtani, first Dodger home run.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam!
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
And it's a special day here at Dodgers Nation on Dodgers Dugout Live because today we are joined by the legend, Mr. Bob Nightingale. You can follow him at B Nightingale, of course. He's an MLB insider for USA Today. Bob, a busy month for you. You got the All-Star Game. You got the Hall of Fame. You got the trade deadline coming up. Thank you so much. We know how valuable your time is. Thanks for joining us here on Dodgers Dugout Live.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you and great to talk to you. Of course, this is the month where guys like you shine. You have the rumors percolating. Sometimes you get exhausting, so many players. But now we actually get to see moves hopefully being made this month. And really what I want to start with is the expanded postseason. Now, at the moment, 25 of 30 teams still are really in the mix. When you look at the wild card, you look at the division races, how much has that impacted the asking prices at the deadline compared to before?
Well, there's only like, you know, as you said, only about five teams out of the race. So it's a seller's market. And, you know, everybody else is kind of in this thing. And, you know, the big thing is, okay, you know, are you going to make a trade just to get in the playoffs? Or are you really serious about getting to the World Series? And I think what happened last year with the Arizona Diamondbacks kind of changed the course for everybody. You know, Texas Rangers to a degree. But the fact that, you know, Diamondback just snuck in the playoffs with 84 wins, we saw what happened, you know, got to the World Series. It's not like everybody's got that in the back of their mind, like, hey, just get in, anything can happen. So there's a lot of teams that, you know, are going to say, hey, we're going to buy or slightly improve, but we're definitely not going to sell because of what the Diamondbacks did.
Absolutely. You look at the success they had. They beat this Dodgers team last year in the NLDS. They went on to make an appearance in the World Series. Now, when you look at this Dodgers team, it's kind of hard to believe that the offseason, you commit over $1.2 billion. You sign Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto, Teoscar Hernandez. You trade for Glasnow, extend him. But it appears that they still have some moves they could make. You could add to the outfield. You could add to the shortstop position. You could add another starting pitcher. What's the sense that you're getting right now when it comes to the Dodgers and what they're trying to accomplish at the deadline?
Well, I think they definitely would like to get, you know, another outfielder. I think that's been a problem. I don't think that's going to be an easy fix. And I think they say, you know what, we got to get help there. Shortstop, I would say, you know what, who knows if Mookie Betts is going to be the answer, but the fact he's going to be out this long, very unfair to put him back at shortstop. They expect him to be the defensive guy to lead you to the World Series. I think they keep Rojas there. I really do. And move Mookie back at second base. You know, could always move him back to the outfield. You know, not that he wants that, but say, you know what, for the good of the team, you're better off being in right field. We can solve second base. So I think the whole thing is the key is Mookie Betts. You know, they'll get some bullpen help. You know, you can always find that. And maybe one more starter. Right now, it's, you know, relying on Glasnow and a lot of question marks. I don't think they thought Buehler would have these kind of struggles Gavin Stone has stepped up, but may need one more starter. You know, a guy like Zach Eflin, I'm throwing out, you know, someone like that. We didn't give up a ton for him. I know they've talked about, you know, they made an offer too for Garrett Crochet and the White Sox. When the White Sox turned on the offer, it wasn't enough. But he's kind of an X factor. It's like, you know, Crochet has already pitched 15 more innings than his career high. So are you going to even have the guy available in September and October? If you do, it'd probably be in a limited bullpen role.
Yeah, and if you're a team like the Dodgers, Yamamoto, he's out right now with a rotator cuff injury. Walker Buehler hasn't pitched like the guy we saw a couple years ago when he had established himself as one of the best postseason pitchers in the game. Kirsch is coming back. But yeah, there are some questions about this starting rotation. Gavin Stone, as you mentioned, has been a breakthrough player for this team. But you mentioned Garrett Crochet, and you did report that the Dodgers did make that offer. What else can you tell us about that offer? And do you think it's a situation where the Dodgers are in the early stages of pulling off a big trade for Crochet, and do you expect them to come back with a bigger offer to get someone that could be a lights out pitcher in the postseason? You could use him in a hybrid role. You could even shut him down a little bit, load manage him towards the end of the season to make sure that he's ready to go for October. But do you expect them to continue to pursue that deal for Crochet?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think they'll just keep pursuing him until he's traded. You know, the Dodgers have never traded away that stud prospect that's come back to haunt him. So they've been good about that. And I think the White Sox say, you know what, we got 15 teams on this guy. We know he's a valuable asset. We want to hurt, and we want, you know, someone's, you know, top two or three guys, you know, to give up a Crochet. But, you know, he's only making $800,000. You got him through 2026. But, you know, if your team is like, you know, how much are you going to give you down the stretch? He's never, you know, pitched this long before. The White Sox plan to shut him down in the second half, you know, probably, you know, maybe limit to some innings in the bullpen. So it would certainly be a valuable guy in the bullpen, but just there's that uncertainty about the guy.
Yeah, and do you think that Crochet is going to be the best high upside, high ceiling arm available, or could the Tigers look to trade someone like a Tarek Skubal? Do you think Jack Flaherty could be available?
Well, Flaherty would be available for sure, and that would be right up the Dodgers' wheelhouse. I don't see a Skubal being available. I don't. I don't know why they would trade him. I mean, he's a stud. He's got two more years of control, maybe three more years of control. But, yeah, you'd have to give an absolute ton to get Skubal. I just can't see why Detroit would do that. Too big of a guy. Flaherty, I think Flaherty will definitely be gone.
Yeah, Flaherty definitely makes a lot of sense for this Dodgers team. You did mention that, yeah, they haven't been burned too many times with giving up top prospects that went on to have awesome careers and really become elite talents. I mean, Yordan Alvarez is an example. They didn't know too much about him at the time when they moved him. As long as it's not Pedro Martinez, I'll be just fine considering the championship window that they're in. And you have Mookie and Freddie in their primes. You signed Shohei Ohtani. How much of a sense of urgency do you think the organization has, knowing, you know what, we realize that people are going to say that this era of Dodger baseball isn't going to be a success with at least one World Series championship, possibly two? How much urgency do you think they're going to put in this trade deadline? How aggressive do you expect them to be knowing that?
There's a lot of urgency in the sense that, you know, for the Dodgers, maybe probably more than any team in baseball, it's World Series or bust. I mean, if they don't make the World Series, I think the whole season would be considered a disaster in L.A. with all that talent. You're still talking about, you know, for a full season, not having a World Series championship since 88.
Yeah.
You know, 60 games, a lot of things can happen in 60 games. So just with all the money invested, the attention, what Ohtani's doing, you know, spend the money for Yamamoto, I think they've got to get to the World Series or it's going to, be a long, long winter. I don't think you can say that about any other team, not even the Yankees or anybody else. But the Dodgers, I think they have to get to the World Series or it's going to be, or they're going to have to say, okay, what went wrong here? Do we have to make changes? You know, what are we going to do for 2025?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's music to our ears. We have a saying here, it's parades over prospects. So yeah, we're all in on the Dodgers winning this season, but just kind of circling back to the outfield picture, you have Andy Páez in center. You have Teoscar Hernandez, who's been outstanding for the Dodgers in his role. Jason Hayward's out there. Chris Taylor has started to get back on track. He's going to start to get some runway at third with Max Muncy missing time. But when you look at adding a bat, an impact bat, a name that a lot of Dodgers fans have been clamoring for quite some time is Randy Arozarena. Do you expect the Tampa Bay Rays to seriously consider dealing him at the deadline? And do you think there's a link between the Dodgers and Randy Arozarena? Could you see the Rays trading Arozarena to the Dodgers?
Well, I think, the two teams actually have a good relationship. I always you have to look at that, what GMs deal with each other. Obviously, we saw that in the Glasnow trade. They've done a lot of deals together, especially with Andrew Friedman, being from there. He has a great relationship with Eric Neander of Tampa Bay. So, yeah. And, the key with Arozarena, obviously he's having a down year, but he steps up in crunch time. He loves the limelight. You think he's a guy to stick around. Well, he fit right into the Dodger culture. He's a very flamboyant guy, but when the lights are on, he steps up. So we'll see. That'll be an interesting name for sure. He's not a guy that really does much between April and September, but come October, he does.
Absolutely. 1104 OPS in the postseason. We want to see that in Dodger blue. And then you look at some of the other outfielders, Luis Robert Jr. This is a player who has all the tools. He's a guy who could be a perennial MVP candidate, all-star in his prime, but lots of team control, over 3.5 years of team control. Is he somebody you think the White Sox are going to move at the deadline? And do you think that the Dodgers could maybe pull off a massive blockbuster with Crochet and Robert Jr.? Or do you think that's dreaming a little too big?
They could. I mean, the thing about Robert Jr. is he's been a big disappointment. Always been hurt. You got 3 more years of control, I think $15 million next year and then 20 and 20. That's a lot of money for a guy who is grossly underachieved. So I think the White Sox may hang on to him. Just I'm not sure they're going to get what they want for the guy. Who are you getting? Last thing the Dodgers want is to trade some prospects for him. Then he breaks down like he's been breaking down for the White Sox. So he's a big name. But he hasn't lived up to the potential, not even close.
Yeah, if you're the White Sox, you've struggled for years. You might be in the mix for a down-to-the-studs rebuild. Maybe you do move off him. But, yeah, as you mentioned, you're trading him when his stock is on the lower side and you want him to build that stock. You can still trade him in the offseason if he gets things going. Now, you talked about the shortstop position. You think that Miguel Rojas is going to stay there permanently. I know internally they've had some questions about his age. He's 35 and keeping a shortstop at a very demanding position, healthy through that. But there's also a name in Bo Bichette that's been floated around as a potential trade target for the Dodgers. One, do you think Bo Bichette gets dealt at the deadline? And two, could it be to LA? Do you think there's a natural fit there? And do you think that makes sense?
I don't think they'll trade him. As embarrassing the season's been for the Blue Jays and probably the most underachieving team in the last few years, you still have Bichette and Guerrero one more year. And, Bichette, big name, he's done some nice things offensively. Defensively, he struggled big time. And, let's face it, the Dodgers are making moves for the World Series. Last thing you want is a young shortstop to, kick some balls around come playoff time. That's where Rojas sticks in, no matter what he does offensively. A guy is that key defensively. So I think it's possible, but unlikely. I'm not sure the Blue Jays will even trade him.
Yeah, big name, and we heard so many years, and Vladdy and Bo, that they were going to be that next group that was going to contend for World Series titles. Vlad's gotten it going. Bo Bichette, not so much. Now, I want to shift gears quickly to relievers. You mentioned the reliever market. You got Tanner Scott potentially available. How about Kenley Jansen? Could we see a return to L.A.? Kenley Jansen gets traded from Boston back to the Dodgers. Do you think that's a realistic possibility, Bob?
Well, there's a possibility for sure. What hurts is that the Red Sox are still in the race. They may want to add. They're still hanging around. So I'm not sure they trade Jansen. Obviously, the Dodgers would make a lot of sense just because they know him. They know what he can do. They know he can step up in crunch time. I would think a team like the Baltimore Orioles would be on Jansen too. They don't want to rely on Craig Kimbrell. They'd like to have a closer. So, Tanner Scott makes a whole lot of sense for a lot of teams. So I would think Scott would make more sense than Jansen. Scott would be a steeper price than Jansen because Jansen's making, $16 million in the last year of his contract.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a name like Zach Eflin. Any other names you're hearing about the Dodgers and them being linked to?
Yeah, you're not really. I mean, there's only like, you know, two or three teams are actually, you know, being aggressive, trying to sell off their guys. And, you know, the Dodgers have people out there. Everybody's can keep a look at the Oakland A's now with Mason Miller. I don't think he's going to be traded. You know, they're, you know, should be their all-star closer. Brent Rooker, a nice outfielder to have. So I think they'll get some pieces, but I don't think they're going to get a star-studded guy and give up a prize prospect. He's, you know, never done that. I don't see them changing their MO now, hoping that a guy like Walker Buehler bounces back. You know, Kershaw is an X factor. Which Clayton Kershaw you're going to get? Yamamoto will certainly be off the injury list, you know, at some point. And, you know, and Glasnow is a stud. If you get a Glasnow, a Buehler, Yamamoto.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Oh, no. You know, you can go all the way to the World Series if those three guys are pitching that you're capable of.
Absolutely. I love that you point that out because, I mean, the way you lay it out, it's a little more reassuring knowing that they're going to feel like they're deadline acquisitions when you get Mookie and Muncy and Yamamoto and Kirsch and May. They have a lot of reinforcements on the way, so it's not like you have to panic and go out there and make a move. We've seen this organization stay patient, stay the course, so I think they're going to be opportunistic, but look a little too far in the offseason. I did want to ask you about Juan Soto. He's going to be the prize of the offseason. What's your read on Soto? Do you think he's back with the Yankees? A couple years ago, the All-Star Game Dodgers fans were chanting for him to sign with the Dodgers. I mean, they always have a ton of money. I mean, is there any possibility that Soto, I mean, they potentially need an outfielder. What do you have for his market right now and as it pertains to the Dodgers?
I think just the only two teams bidding for him would be the Yankees and the Mets. I don't see him going anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, more East Coast. I don't see the Dodgers jumping in that sweepstakes. I mean, it's paid $700 million for Ohtani, you know, 3.25 for Yamamoto. So I don't see him doing that at all. Remember now, I mean, they saw him firsthand with the San Diego Padres. He didn't do anything for the Padres. Very disappointing with the Padres. The Padres gave up a lot of prospects and blew up in their face. They would love to have those prospects back and wish they never made the Soto trade. So Soto's playing a lot better now in New York than playing in San Diego. So, you know, what if he does the same thing back in the in California? So I'm not sure he's an answer. I mean, if he was the answer, the Padres should have been a couple World Series. They weren't.
Yeah, you know how as Dodgers fans are. I mean, there comes a time where we think we're going to get every single player, every free agent. It happens every single year. But last question here, Bob. You look back a day after the trade deadline. What do you think ultimately the Dodgers do? Do they add an impact starter, a reliever, an outfielder? How big do you think they go? Just kind of throwing out there, what would be your guess as to where they end up after the deadline?
I think they get an outfielder. I'm throwing a guy out like a Brent Rooker, you know, but an outfielder like that. And then also a bullpen arm, you know, not a, you know, not a Mason Miller, but someone that can help them. I mean, and Jansen would be the high end of that sort of thing. A Tanner Scott makes a lot of sense. And they've dealt, you know, before with the Marlins as well. And that's it. I don't think a big blockbuster move. And I don't think, you know, there may not be a big blockbuster move out there. There really won't. I told, you know, like we talked about Crochet. Yeah, he's on top of his game. But you don't know what you're going to get the second half. I mean, why give up a lot for him if he's not going to pitch for September, October?
Yeah, it's a big roll of the dice to go after a Crochet when you look at the fact that he's already in uncharted waters as far as how many innings he's pitched, his first time as a full-time starter. Most innings he's pitched was actually back when he was at Tennessee. So I definitely agree that's a major roll of the dice that it's tough to see this Dodgers team doing. But based on your reporting, the fact that there has been communication means there's some level of opportunity they might pursue there. But Bob, we cannot thank you enough for joining us here. The name legend gets thrown out a little too lightly these days. Bob Nightingale, you are a legend in Major League Baseball reporting. Of course, you already follow him, so I don't need to give you his handle, but if you haven't yet, you can follow him at B Nightingale. Go read all of his stuff at USA Today. We'll catch up with you at the All-Star game. Hopefully, we'll see you there. But Bob, thank you so much. Join us here on Dodgers Dugout Live.
I'll see you in hot Texas in a couple weeks, Doc.
Awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much, my man. And yeah, enjoy the great, have a great week, my man.
All right, you too, Doc.
All right, see you later, Bob. Talk to you soon. And that was Mr. Bob Nightingale. So Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Of course, you know him, you love him. Bob Nightingale is really one of the best reporters, one of my favorite guys in baseball. You remember during the lockout and everything that was going on, and just he's someone that really just comes through the great information, the great analysis, the great insight. So yeah, if you haven't followed him yet, you definitely have to do so. And let me know down below in the comment section, what are your takes on the things that Bob had to say and the insight and the information that he provided, because I thought there was a lot of interesting takeaways from that. And that, look, just before you get into some of the players that aren't Dodgers that he mentioned, it really made you feel good when you kind of put things into perspective. You are getting Mookie Betts back, who's an MVP. You are getting back Clayton Kershaw, who, if he has the fastball velocity around 90 and the feel for that slider, he can still go out there and be effective. Walker Buehler still has the velocity in play. It's just a matter of getting the command right and finding the mechanics that allow him to go out there and be successful. You're still getting back a Max Muncy, who is on his way to having the best season of his career offensively and defensively. When you look at his ability to play that third base position at the best level he's had in his career, when you look at the fact that he was on pace for 36 home runs and over 100 RBI, tying his career high, and he was headed for an all-star season. So you have Brusdar Graterol, Ryan Brazier, Joe Kelly. I mean, there's so many reinforcements that are on the way. Having said all that, this is a team, as Bob Nightingale mentioned, no team in Major League Baseball, not even the Yankees, not even any other team out there, Astros, Mets, whoever you want to say, big markets, small markets, teams that have signed players, no one has nearly the level of pressure on them that the Dodgers do to win in year one. Because if you don't win in year one, the offseason becomes what went wrong. Did you sign the wrong players? Did you trade for the wrong players? Are you pursuing players that are injury prone, right? Did you pursue players that can't come alive in the postseason? So that's why I fully believe that they will go out there and will try to add an impact player at a couple different positions. And I think the outfield now, from a position player standpoint, that has to be the priority. I think Randy Arozarena is the guy for the Dodgers to add in the outfield, because 1104 postseason OPS, he's gotten it together this month. He's under two more years of team control compared to a Luis Robert Jr. that has three plus the rest of this season. So the prospect capital costs would be less. And the Rays, the Dodgers, they're natural trade partners. The Rays and other teams out there, sure, you could get deals done. Andrew Friedman, though, he's got that special connection with the organization that he took to the World Series for the Tampa Bay Rays. So there's that. And then I thought it was fascinating to hear him talk about Garrett Crochet, because the fact that the Dodgers have been involved in communication lines with the White Sox about Garrett Crochet, That tells you something. What I always say on this show, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. And what they're doing behind the scenes is communicating with teams about ace-level pitching, about frontline starters, about impact starters. And the fact that they're doing that, even after they traded for an extended Tyler Glasnow, made Yoshinobu Yamamoto sign the biggest contract for a pitcher in big league history at $325 million. The fact that you have Gavin Stone breaking out in his rookie season, he's still qualified as a rookie, just so you know. Bobby Miller, Walker Buehler, Landon Knack, James Paxton. You have all these guys, you have all this depth, and the Dodgers are still behind the scenes trying to add starting pitching. Not just any starting pitching, they're swinging for the fences. They're finding out the asking prices for the top starting pitchers available. And Garrett Crochet, if it's not him, then who does it become next? He doesn't think that Skubal is going to be available, which he's most likely correct because the Tigers, they hope to contend next couple years. Hopefully he's an ace. It would take you four top 10 prospects to get him. But the White Sox are a different story. The White Sox are a dumpster fire and they need to move guys. They're not going to be contenders. So if you don't sign extension with Garrett Crochet, if you don't think he's going to be back, his value is never going to be higher. Trade him now. Jack Flaherty, though, he fits the description of what the Dodgers look for at the deadline. It is, you go out there, you bring in a guy who's not under team control for multiple seasons. He's only under one more year of team control, right? It's a rental for the end of this season. And his stuff is playing up like a top 5 to 10 pitcher. That's where he's at right now. So I definitely think my biggest takeaway is that the Dodgers most likely are going to add a starting pitcher. They're probably going to add another bat. And then also, he's saying what I've said on this show for months now. What is that? Miguel Rojas is an elite starting shortstop. The Dodgers can win their 8th World Series in franchise history with Miggy Rowe as your shortstop. Move Mookie back to second or put him back in the outfield. But the most important thing is you move Mookie off shortstop because he's already been a heroic player. I mean, this is the thing. Mookie Betts, he gets extra credit. Getting extra credit, he's getting A-plus this season because he did something he did not have to do, and you shouldn't force him to do that again. What does this mean for Gavin Lux? We'll tackle that on another episode, but I think that it's pretty obvious what this means for Gavin Lux is that if Mookie goes to second, then he doesn't have a position to play. If Mookie goes back to the outfield, well, where does Jason Heyward play? Just come off the bench? Yes, I know the bench hasn't been great. I've seen better benches at Elysian Park at times during the season, but still, you could add depth by bumping everyone down. Will they do that? We'll see. But I want to read some comments, guys. Welcome to Dodgers Dugout Live, the number one Dodgers show on YouTube. We need to hit this at the top of the show, so we're going to hit it now. Be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel so you could win this Shohei Ohtani number 17 gray road jersey. All you have to do is subscribe to the channel and comment Goat Tani down below. G-O-A-T. Goat Tani, because he's the greatest of all time. Goat Tani down below. And then we're working on some giveaways before then. We'll talk to you a little bit about that coming soon. So be on the lookout for that. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for those giveaways. And also our friends over at Bet Online. This episode of Dodgers Dugout Live is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. Here is another Bet Online read. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino to get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% off free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online. The game starts here. All right, let's read some comments. We got Kenny Chung down below. I've been telling peeps that Paxton's been getting by with luck. His luck finally ran out. Not good when you're a two-pitch pony. Talk about one-dimensional. Yeah, look, and I've been saying that here for quite some time. His ERA doesn't tell you the full story. You have to look at FIP. You have to look at fielding independent pitching. You have to look at expected numbers that's based on launch angle and quality of contact. And yes, all of those numbers indicated and pointed to the fact that Paxton was due for some negative regression to the mean. We knew that, at some point you were going to see that, and unfortunately it reared its ugly head yesterday. And if you're the Dodgers, James Paxton, he's someone that, like I've been saying on the show, you ride him like a rented car, right? You ride him like a rented car because you're not hoping to get postseason starts out of him. You're not hoping to get a rotation start when it matters most. And quite frankly, not even hoping for him to come out of the bullpen if everything breaks right. But James Paxton is doing what he's supposed to do, and that is he's eating innings in the regular season. I mean, if that was any other pitcher yesterday on the Dodgers, right? If that was any other pitcher, if that was Kirsch, if that was Walker Buehler, if that was Tyler Glasnow, if that was Yamamoto, right? If that was any of those other guys, the Dodgers aren't going to leave them out there. But it's James Paxton, and he was pounded. He was rocked. Gave him 9 runs on 12 hits. Lots of hard contact. Missing up in the zone, out of the middle of the plate with a 93-mile-per-hour heater. That's a recipe to get pounded by that Giants team. But still, I want to give him a little credit, a little let's go Dodgers, for the fact that he ate one, man. He ate one for the team. And he's playing his role. That's what he's supposed to do because guys are out and they're injured. But Modern Leper says, understanding his role, I'm not upset because he's nailed it so far. For us, he has kicked the can down the road. Exactly. You have to put things into context. If they had signed James Paxton for $325 million, he's pitching like that, then I'm panicking. Then I'm furious at that sign. That's not the case, right? He's on a deal where it's $13 million. He's the Noah Syndergaard that has provided some depth and some length. But some more of your comments here. Rose Ranch should be the guy they sign. He brings that Puig energy as far as what he brings at the trade deadline. Absolutely. He definitely does that in spades. Let me give you a fire take for that. You got some comments to the right. Michael Edwards, the Dodgers need a shortstop. Starting pitchers. Get either Rosarena or Bichette, then Bellinger for center field in both Crochet and Skubal. So you're dreaming big. That's like the Christmas list you write in like September, right? That's when you really go crazy. When December rolls around, you got to hand it into your parents. You kind of a little more realistic by then, right? I think what we know about Bo Bichette is, yes, he could be moved. He told a reporter he wouldn't be surprised, I think he said. He wouldn't be surprised if he was moved to the deadline. So that lets you know that, yeah, he's someone that is not going to be buying a mansion in Toronto at any point today or the next week because he could be traded. And look, I can tell you from people I've talked to, from insiders, look, there's a deeply expected feeling. I mean, the expectation about Bo Bichette is that he's not going to get a long-term deal in Toronto. So you should trade him. The only issue that the Blue Jays have, he's having a bad season by his standards. So his value is as low as that's ever been. Bob Nightingale said on the show, he doesn't expect him to be moved. And I think the better option is to go out there and get a bat that you could trust is going to produce. And like I said, Randy Rose ran in the postseason, 1104 OPS. Luis Robert Jr. having a down year, but he does play center field, right? He does play that center field premium position and other starting pitcher. I think Paxton is great, but bad game against the Giants. We got NHD, an analyst. Sign a Rosarena, I know, and I promise he is going to turn his season around. He is hungry to win a championship. Yeah, look, some players it works for. Some players, you get traded to the Dodgers, they sprinkle that Dodgers magic, Dodger dust on you, and you go on to get back to the player you were, or you play better than you were before you got there. But, doesn't always work. Kevin Biggio is a prime example of that, right? Doesn't always work. But okay, D-Mac got the Christmas. I'll get back to that one. But Dodgers Nation from Wisconsin, Gotani, Noah M, Kenny Chung. We got, thank you, CT3. It won't have a bounce back year. Don't get your hopes up. El Rojas, LA needs a three-bagger with a bat and an outfielder. I wouldn't say you need a third baseman at this point because internally they fully expect Max Muncy to be back this season and they don't expect the injury to set him back to the point where he can't produce like he was. You talk about Randy Arozarena in the postseason. Well, guess what? Max Muncy is someone who has a walk-off home run in the World Series, game three of the World Series, over 7 hours. I was there that night. It was, I could do a whole show about my experience at that game. Maybe we will in the offseason. But Max Muncy is going to be back. And he was playing better defense this year than Nolan Arenado, who's dealing with tendonitis. And Max Muncy in the postseason, an 856 OPS. He's hit 10 home runs in 10 series. And you've seen him have big series. Look, in the Padres series a couple years ago, Muncy was one of the only guys that came through. He went 4-for-14 and had a double and a home run. So I still think that they don't need a third baseman. I truly don't think that, one, there's anyone out there that would be a massive upgrade to Max Muncy. You didn't trade it for Rafael Devers. Just stop. It ain't happening. They don't even want that contract. Okay? You're not getting Nolan Arenado. He's having a down year. Defense is down. Offense is down. He has no trade clause. Cardinals still contending for a wild card spot. It ain't happening. Okay? I love the hypotheticals, but there comes a point where, look, doesn't matter how much you love that house. If it ain't for sale, you ain't buying it. I don't care what street it's on, what neighborhood it's in. Okay? That's just the truth. But I'm going to go to my my crew over here, my guys. It's been a long show, so we got to go to you guys. Start with my man, Mr. Antonio. Antonio. Of all the names, Super Producer Tonio, he's known in the streets as Tony Taters. Getting love on those softball fields. I know you're showing him love. A star is born over here. Tony Taters, of all the names, I think I can guess this, but of all the names that Bob Nightingale mentioned, of all those guys, if you could pick one, who would you pick?
You already know, bro. And I think the audience knows it's got to be Randy 100% again. He's just a great fit, obviously.
Arozarena makes you Randy.
Oh, makes me Randy, baby, but you know how it is. But okay. I feel like he'll fit in very well with the team.
You did mention Brent Rooker though a couple weeks ago. He's on your fantasy team, right? He's killing it for you.
I traded him actually.
Oh wow, okay.
Sorry, still love you, Brent. But no, Brent Rooker actually.
Tony Taters take Friedman's job. We'll be right, we'll be the Rockies.
No, but for sure, Brent Rooker would be really good too. I could go with either or, but personally, obviously, it's Randy Arozarena. Can't say enough with how much he will mean for the culture, for the Latino community. I always say it here. And, you know, in the postseason, he's going to turn it up. Turn it the F up, bro.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no guarantees, right? There's no guarantees, but still, I do think it does make some sense. There's no doubt about it. When you add the intangibles plus what he brings, you combine those things and you have another impact bat. How about my man, Mr. Noel, Young Lotto, Noise by Noel? Of all the I know as the guy who runs our social media team here, which name would help you the most? That's certainly Mr. Can you give me a Randy? Randy Arozarena, you know, yeah, get that Randy. But of all those names, who would you pick? Was it also Randy or?
No, it's not Randy. Honestly, I feel like with all the deep dives I've done into it and the highlights and the advanced stats, I like Garrett Crochet. I think you can never have too many arms. We saw what happened last postseason and last couple postseasons in the past. And I just feel like the Dodgers are in a prime position where you see these guys on the IL right now. You see the uncertainty around the team. And Bob Nightingale said it himself. If they don't make the World Series, this season's going to be a disaster. So I think Garrett Crochet is the guy that I'm looking at, Doug.
Yeah, no, that was pretty bold. That would be a good one for one of your bold memes. And if the Dodgers make the World Series, it's a disaster. I'm like Bob Nightingale there.
Yeah, big little quote graph.
Big little quote graph. That seems like a quote graph. But yeah, I love it, Noel. I can't predict you anymore. I've been good at it for years, but you're switching up. And I think with Crochet, absolutely.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
If you could look in the future, if you had a magic eight ball, or you could look in the future and say, oh, you can guarantee he's going to perform at the level now through the postseason, then you say, yeah, that's a guy that is lights out. That's a guy that dominates hitters. And you pair that with Glass now, you have the two biggest strikeout guys to front your rotation when it matters most. I am a little concerned about the fact that he has never pitched this deep into a season, doesn't have as much experience. The prospect capital cost would be high. And I do think Flaherty plus a Rosarena is kind of where I'm at. And Flaherty is another guy that fits in with this team. I mean, you talk about the culture. I mean, says he loves playing at Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
He's from Harbor Westlake. He wants to come home. Flaherty, I think, makes a lot of sense because you don't want to overpay to that degree. I always say on the show, Andrew Friedman likes buying the Halloween candy the day after when it's at half price, when it's 75% off. There's 25 teams that still think they have a chance to make the postseason. Last year, the Diamondbacks, they just snuck in and made it to the World Series. And it's good for baseball. It truly is. It's good for baseball. I mean, when football starts and your team's out of it, fans come dressed like seats. And you hate when that happens. And unfortunately, that's the case. But now there's more people in it. But let's get back to these comments here. We got Kenny Chung. I will cheer loudly when they finally DFA Biggio. I like that. I like that. You get up, you set your alarm for extra early so you have more time to hate. I like that approach sometimes. Leave him in San Francisco. He's not even an MLB quality player. Just call it Lipsius and give him a chance. Yeah, look, didn't I say that? Didn't I push for Andre Lipsius to get an opportunity? Because I think that it's the same situation with Lipsius than Biggio, is that you bring in someone that clearly is having some issues in their current scenery with their current team, and you try to address some things mechanically, whether it be approach, whether identifying an area in your swing that you can improve to be able to optimize your talent level. It just hasn't worked with Kevin Biggio, unfortunately. And I think for me, I mean, three errors in the 10 games before yesterday. And for me, if you're struggling defensively, then you pair that with the fact that you're struggling offensively, then yeah, you definitely need to do more. And Dave Roberts said after the game that he wants to see more from Kevin Biggio and he wants better at bat. So for Dave Roberts to say something like that, that's basically like shape up or you're going to get shipped out situation. If you look at the week that Kevin Biggio had, he had 11 at bats. He had one hit. He hit .091. So I think that maybe Kevin Biggio on this team to plug in, of course, we know why. I mean, like I said a couple weeks ago, Kike Hernandez not hitting righties. You wanted two third basemen that you could almost platoon in a sense. But unfortunately, both of them haven't been productive. Kike Hernandez, look at the week that he had a better week. Kike went 5-for-16 last week, hit .313. It's Noel's favorite player, to post at least, other than Otani. Otani's always in his own class. But Kike is someone that he still provides a role. Kike is going to be on this team by the end of the year. Chris Taylor is going to be on this team by the end of the year. Kevin Biggio, the days are numbered, okay? He is going to get Jamal Adams at one point, and he's not going to have access to the Dodgers facility, okay? He's going to be left off this team. But I do think that they missed on an opportunity to see what they had in Andre Lipsius, and that's what's frustrating to me. I would have given him an opportunity to see if he can do anything close to what he's done at the minor league level, at the big league level. And if he can, maybe he's your next diamond in the rough find that can help you. And it's unfortunate they didn't give him that opportunity. Keith Potter, D-Mac. Tyler Glass now is healthy, but is only 17 innings from his career high of 120 innings. I'm nervous. What's your level of concern? My level of concern for that is, I would say, probably a 5. And that's just because he didn't pitch before deep into seasons because he was injured, because he needed Tommy John surgery. He's gotten that corrected. So he had the brace surgery and he went to the rehab. And I don't think it's a situation where you're concerned that he's going to get injured again, like blow out his arm. I mean, there are some people that will tell you that his mechanics, that flat arm, definitely makes you more susceptible to arm injuries. And that definitely is a concern. But Tyler Glasnow has mentioned in the past that he wouldn't throw with less velocity if it made him have a higher chance, if it increased the chances that he wasn't going to get injured and avoid injury, because he knows the name of the game. You have to pump velo, man. We're in the velo revolution. You go to those wheels fall off. I just think they're going to manage him a little differently. I don't think he's going to get injured. I definitely think the velocity is still consistent, but it's the command. The release point was off on Saturday's start, and he was leaving breaking balls out of the plate. He was leaving fastballs middle. But when he's painting, he's the best pitcher in the league, or at least in the conversation, as far as overall dominance goes. And I think with Tyler Glasnow, you have to take into consideration that he knows his role for this team, that it's to go out there and be the stopper, be their number one guy. I think what you'll see is you'll see less innings. You'll see them skip some starts. I think there is a world where he does go in the IL with something minor-ish to give him a breather, especially when Kershaw returns, especially when Buehler returns. There's a possibility of that because of the way that Knack has performed, because of how Gavin Stone has performed. James Paxton's going to eat innings until it falls off for him. So they still have the type of depth to be able to manage Tyler Glasnow. But yeah, absolutely, it's something that you have to consider because they traded for him to be that guy that pitches 20 to 25 innings in the postseason. And if there's any sign of him wearing down at all, you have to do what you can to load manage him because that's what's important. And the beauty of all that is this. The beauty of that is, if you remember a couple years ago, when you traded for Max Scherzer, you needed Max Scherzer to have a sub-2 ERA down the stretch just to stay pace with that Giants team that you ultimately fell one game short of in the National League West. They won 107 games. Dodgers won 106. Well, guess what? You have a 7.5-game lead in the National League West. So thankfully, the National League West outside the Dodgers hasn't been great, and the Dodgers will continue to have a nice cushion. The only thing that you can play for if you're the Dodgers at this point is best record in baseball and best record in the National League. And right now the Dodgers 3.5 games back from the Phillies, so they could pass them too if you want to go that route. But definitely something you have to consider. But what primary outfield position does Arozarena play? Anyone on here know? Peek a peep over on YouTube. He's a corner outfield guy, and that really is what separates a Luis Robert Jr., who can play center field throughout his career at a premium level, at an above average level, for a Rosarena, that he's not a guy that you trade for because you think, oh, he's a gold glove corner outfielder. He's not that guy. And he's not trying to necessarily be that guy. He's just trying to be steady defensively and have his strong suit be his defense. On the season, Randy Rosarena is in the 30th percentile in outs above average. So that puts him at -1. On the year. Not a great arm, doesn't have great arm strength, but he can't get it done. And that's where you would possibly, what you could do is have Teoscar in right along with Jason Hayward. And don't forget, Jason Hayward can play center field too. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Hayward sees more center field action down the stretch and you have him and Páez if they do add another outfielder. We got Alejandro Olvera, CT3, having a bounce back is so refreshing. Glad to have him back, and we are our own trade deadline pool. Plus, we are the best at navigating with injuries, but I'm down for Randy, LOL. Keith Potter, I think we already got that one, so we'll go to Kelly Oshiro over on YouTube. We have everyone we need in positions. We need starting pitching. Yeah, starting pitching. Say it one more time, starting pitching. Because you just never know when someone's going to go down. Roy Estrada, Stone is our most reliable pitcher, followed by Glasnow with rest. After that, we are in trouble. Get us pitching. We will get disappointed again if we don't upgrade. 100%. I said yesterday, a couple days ago, that if you don't add another starter, that really reduces your chances of making it back to the World Series. If you're LA, you definitely have to add another guy. And the organization has already proven that they're going after that. But a couple more here, guys, then we are going to be back with you tomorrow. We got our big takeaways tomorrow, our predictions for the week tomorrow. By the way, if you guys noticed what I'm not wearing, I'm not wearing a Dodgers City Connect jersey. I'm not doing a shoey because the Dodgers didn't go undefeated. I said they would go 4-2. They went 4-2. So I hit on my prediction last week. Will I be right this week? We'll see. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We'll break down more trade possibilities. Kenley Jansen. We'll talk about more stuff that Bob Nightingale had to say. But a couple more walk-off shots right here. We got Les Robbins. We don't fix pitching. We will not be in the World Series. Send Bueller to the farm system. That's from FYI over on YouTube. Kamichael Edwards, Dodgers hitters need to be aggressive on first pitches. Too many first pitch strikes, just watching it as they go by. Corey Seager never let a first pitch go down. Yeah, hey, Corey Seager never has seen a first pitch he didn't like, okay? He was always going to go swinging. That's what he does. And the Dodgers definitely could benefit from doing that. I mean, Dave Roberts has mentioned it, that sometimes that you do want to be aggressive and ambush early in counts, and I definitely think that is a fair point for sure. Mitchell Hopkins, do you think Phillips makes the All-Star game? I'll answer that question tomorrow, but I do think that Evan Phillips, without question, is an All-Star caliber closer, an All-Star caliber reliever. If you look at his numbers on the season, he continues to prove that he's one of the best relievers in baseball. He's posted a 1.82 ERA in 24 and two-thirds innings. And he definitely should be in the mix, but he did miss some time. It's tough sometimes if you're a reliever to make it for your first time. Sometimes it takes a couple times as far as being that brand name closer. A Kenley, a Kimbrel, a Hader, names like that. Class A has been absurd this season for the Guardians. Of course, he's in the American League. But we'll talk about that tomorrow and some more All-Star stuff. A couple more takes here. Get Flaherty from Mr. Classic. Some walk-off shots. Let's get Crochet and Flaherty. Okay, you want to get multiple starters. Don't wait like Rob Pelinka. Robbed Pelinka, you mean? But yeah, Rob Lowe Pelinka. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You make your All-Star vote today, DMAC. I did not vote today. We should have like a little sticker. I'll get like a bunch of stickers. And if I'm wearing the sticker, that means I voted today. Go out there and vote for your Los Angeles Dodgers. They need more support. The Phillies have gotten a ton of support. Dodgers fans need to step up to another level. Vote for your Dodgers in the All-Star game. Diane Schroeder, thanks for the thumbs up. Yeah, hit that like button on the way out. If you want to see the Dodgers make an impact trade, let's send out the good vibes. Hit that like button if you really want to support the channel. Mitchell Hopkins, thank you so much. Mr. Classic, BT Fouts, Jose Rivera. Yeah, we'll do tons of comments tomorrow. Just a little different because we had a live interview today. So we'll definitely hit that. And also, if you have questions, look over on the YouTube community tab for the mailbag questions too. So definitely respond to those. We're going to dedicate a whole episode to mailbag questions for sure. Craig Osterberg, Moose, Tony Taters over CT3. That's from Jamal. That's a fire take. It's a comment of the show. Of course, Tony Taters. He's my big slugger. We also can play the hot corner for sure. But that's going to do it, guys. Thank you, as always. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. Until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.